Hi, everyone. This is the Meeting Brenda Speed Coaching Show. Welcome. Tonight's show is going to be a little bit different than my usual format. We're going to talk about memories that make us feel good all over again.
Brenda, it's just the music playing.
Oh, well, you counted me in. Ruth, don't talk. Your brain doesn't really know what you're remembering if it happened 40 years ago or yesterday. Just that it makes you smile or laugh thinking about it. I'll explain how all this fits in with my core energy coaching at the end. But I do want you to note how you feel right now, and I'll ask you again at the end of the show. I want people to realize how much their thoughts, and in this case their memories, affect how you feel and how choosing to think about positive, pleasant memories is good for you. And of course, focusing on bad memories does the opposite. If you've listened to previous programs, you're familiar with the idea of energy that's at a lower level that makes you feel kind of crummy when you're feeling angry or like a victim, and other energy that you have that makes you feel really good. And tonight we're going to focus on the energy that makes you feel really good. So please call in and share your memories, your feel-good memories with us. You don't even have to use your real name, and the call-in numbers to participate are area code 530-413-4520 and 415-287-0074. You can also contact me through my Meeting Brenda website, and I'll get the email as well. I know people from my hometown are listening tonight and have some great stories to share, and if anybody has a good story about me, feel free to call in and embarrass me. I will be embarrassed, but it'll be okay. I have so many fond memories of growing up, especially growing up in what I consider was the real Lake Wobegon. My hometown was perfect in my eyes, and it really still is. It was a real nice, safe place to grow up. But of course, I couldn't wait to get out of there after high school, but I don't think that's uncommon when you grow up in a small town. My hometown was surrounded by farmland, and we were probably all related in some scary way because it was such a small town. The two things that made it kind of cosmopolitan were the fact that there was a university and also an Air Force base. You might wonder how an Air Force base does that. Well, all the kids are basers, as we call them. You know, those kids had lived everywhere. Some of them had lived in foreign countries, and they knew way more stuff than we did. Really, all we knew about, it was hockey and potatoes. That was about it. And some of my best memories took place in the winter, which North Dakota is really, really cold. We always skated right after school because most of the schools had ice rinks. And we'd walk home in the dark for dinner with our lower lips frozen in place and our scarves stuck on our cheeks. I mean, it doesn't sound like much fun, but it really, really was. And another snow thing I remember is that after we'd have a blizzard and the snow would drift like up to the top of the eaves on the house or the top of the garage, my dad would let us build a huge ramp and we'd slide down this ramp from the garage on cardboard. I learned to skate in my backyard since my dad flooded the garden every winter. And, you know, holding on to the end of a broom and being pulled around was lots of fun. So I personally have a lot of fond memories of growing up and from being in elementary school as well as high school. So now we'll take a short break, and we'll take some callers and see who is brave enough to share some childhood memories and all that good stuff. So we'll be right back. Thank you. Hi, everyone. Joining me tonight is Ruth Rounds, and she's originally from Fargo, North Dakota, and she has invited some of you to join in tonight. So welcome, Ruth.
Thanks, Brenda.
Are you snowed in up there in the Great North?
We're just plowing out. I'm in Minneapolis, so yes, we got 15 inches.
Wow, that's too much snow all at once, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you heard me tell about some of my snowy cold memories, and I'm just going to ask you to tell us about a few of your fond memories of growing up.
Well, I thought of one when you asked me to call in, and one of my favorite memories is, I think, if anybody's listening from Fargo North, you can correct me, but senior year, we did a senior prank where somebody stayed in the school, and then they let us all in the evening, and we filled the principal's office, I think, with balloons and decorated the locker area, and the police came, and we all scrambled out of the building, and I know some of the leadership of our class got caught and had to clean it up. So I'd love to hear someone else's version of that, but I remember the kind of the exhilaration and excitement of the whole thing.
I mean, you make it sound really goody-two-shoes, but wasn't that like break? Did you say somebody let you in, or did you break in?
At least one classmate stayed in the school so they could let the rest of us in.
Okay. Well, what do you think would happen today if you tried to do that?
Oh, we'd probably all get suspended.
And all you had to do was clean up the balloons?
And, I mean, I got away, so I didn't clean up anything. But I don't remember what we were doing in the locker area, but I know we were doing more so-called decorating.
Oh, decorating, you call it. Well, yeah, it wasn't really. It was in good spirits that you did all this.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds kind of wild to me. I don't think I never did anything like that in high school. I think I remember in the summer, probably in junior high, we'd go roaming around at night in where I lived, and we'd ring doorbells, which sounds so, you know, lame right now. But there must have been some fun in watching the person come to the door. And it wasn't like there were tons of trees around. I'm not even sure how far we had to run to hide, but you know. That was about as exciting. I can't remember any. I'm sure someone out there can remember something, but I don't remember doing anything, especially in like junior high or high school, that was, you know, at all bad in college. Yeah, but certainly not in high school. So you were kind of wild there in Fargo.
I guess we were at least once in our senior year. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're supposed to do something fun, I suppose, huh?
I think it was the senior prank.
Oh, okay. I don't think we had a prank in my little town. I don't know that had. Of course, you were more south, so maybe that explains it, huh?
Mm-hmm. A little more sophisticated or something.
Yeah. Well, and I was describing earlier that we had, you know, these kids from the Air Force Base, which, you know, now seems, I don't know. I mean, because I think at that time the Air Force Base was the fifth largest city in North Dakota. You know, so it had a big presence in my little town, and the kids were, like I mentioned, you know, they were really sophisticated. I'm sure I know we made fun of them, but, you know, they just were so much more worldly than we were, but we didn't really take that into account because, of course, we thought we were the perfect people, in Lake Wobegon, as I call it. So did you do anything special in the wintertime that you remember that was really, really fun?
Well, I was listening to your introduction, and of course, we had the skating rinks also. And went skating, I think, almost every night, you know, after supper.
Right.
At the local rink. Washington School is the one I went to.
Yeah, I mean, we had, we just went from, I think the warming house was like the stairwell, and we'd put our skates on and just go right out after class because it was just right there. And then I suppose we'd go home at 5, which was, you know, it was pitch dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know, we were ready to go home by then. Mm-hmm. We've been skating probably for an hour and a half. And like I said,
and I know you were talking about memories from high school. Did you do that in high school also?
No, we didn't in high school. You know what happens in high school is you have all those activities, you know, after school. There, I think I went to every single athletic event, you know, and I can't even say that I really like sports. I love hockey. I'll be genuine about liking that. But no, there were all those things to go to after school, and a lot of them were athletic things, and those were always fun. And they, you know, there was always some parent that got roped into driving a group of people, group of girls around, you know, to go to these things. And I always thought.
And did you have potlucks?
Yes, we did. We did. And actually, potlucks live on today. You know, these potlucks that were started when we were that age are still, I think, to a certain extent, going strong. People definitely stay in touch. So we'd meet, I don't even know if it was, it must have been once a month in somebody's basement, and their parents would cook for us. I'm sure we brought something. I don't really remember the details about the food, but it was, you know, it was a little social thing to do, and it was fun because I didn't date in high school, so the potluck was definitely, you know, I felt part of a group other than my other activities like band and, you know, chorus and that sort of thing. So that was a really steady influence that started in junior high and, you know, went all through high school. So, and I know from some of your Fargo people that you had potlucks as well.
Yes, I remember we always had potluck bars.
But what are those?
Oh, made with peanut butter and Rice Krispie and chocolate on top. Excellent.
Oh, so it was a fancy
I still
Rice
make them for
bar.
My kids. And sleepovers with bras put in freezers and all kinds of fun things, Ouija boards. And, of course, we had a lot of rivalry for our sports with Fargo South, Fargo North, and Shanley in town. So I'm sure some of our listeners have some good sports stories.
Yeah. Well, we didn't. Well, actually, we had one high school for the first year I was in high school, and then it split, and there a new high school was built, so I went to the new high school for 2 years. And then, of course, there was a rivalry, but definitely between, I know that we would play your school in football. I mean, that's really all I remember. I think that your school had a really good football team, or maybe your rival did, I don't know. But it was, you know, sports was a really big deal, but there wasn't, I don't remember there was a lot more going on than just the stuff that the school sponsored, which was great because what else would we have done?
Yeah.
In a tiny
And time. I do remember when your school started because you went to Red River, right?
Right.
In Grand Forks?
Yep. Yep. That's where I went to school and where I graduated. But my first year of high school, we went to the, you know, the original one, and that was downtown, a, you know, really classic, old, lovely building. And then we moved to, as Greg Johnson would call it, Kmart High, because it was literally on a gravel road behind Kmart in a field. They just built this big, giant school in the middle of nowhere, and, you know, there was no way to get home afterwards because there were no school buses or anything, so it was complicated to get back and forth to school, which, when I say complicated, I'm going to say it was probably 2 miles away, but it was not, you didn't really want to walk along the gravel road to get over to the highway to go home. It was a, you know, out of the way location. And now, of course, you know, the city fathers obviously knew what they were doing when they planned it because the city's just expanded around it. I mean, now it's kind of it's not in the middle of town, but it's definitely, you know, really everything's been filled in around it. So, yeah, that was funny. That was funny for sure. And I don't know, were you in music? Did you do music stuff in school?
I did. I did band and choir.
And what'd you play? What was your instrument?
Clarinet. And alto.
Oh, so you sat kind of in the front row, and I was kind of in the back row with my trombone.
Oh, yeah, you have a trombone story, don't you? I think I've heard this one.
Oh, I do have a trombone story. It was, well, you know, I guess I was a sophomore, so I was at the old high school, and you've been in bands, so you know that when you do a performance, you're not all level. They usually put you on risers so your parents can see you. And so I'm on the tallest riser in the back on the side with the trombones, and of course, I'm the only girl, so I'm like third chair, third trombone. I am like like the lowest of the low, right? And you know how guys, tip their chairs back a little bit? You know, they're kind of showing off. I mean, men do it all the time. In a bar, they tip their chairs back. They tip their chairs back at the dinner table. Well, the first trombones, everybody else was a boy, right? So they have their chairs tip back a little. And as my dad describes it, they went off the risers like dominoes. And I think someone tried to grab me, but I held firm. And I don't know. It probably sounded pretty bad after that for a while because I only knew, my part, which wasn't a big part. Anyway, so a few people flipped off. They got up, got back up. But I just remember that besides that, the other issue with playing the trombone was when we'd play in the Potato Bowl or the Oofta Bowl. I mean, they really did have a football game with that name for the University of North Dakota. We'd have to have our mouthpieces in our pockets of our uniforms because otherwise our lips would stick to the metal because it was so cold. I'm going to say, you know, this was close to the end of October. It was starting to get really cold out. And we'd have to stand there and blow into our mouthpieces before the parade started so we wouldn't rip the skin off our lips. So that's dedication, isn't it?
It is.
To be a kid in band, like my mom said, there are no bad kids in band. That was pretty funny. Well,
hey, Brenda, are the call-in numbers? If some of our friends from Red River and Fargo North or those from other parts of the country are listening
and
be willing to share a story?
Yeah, and I mean, just, you know, memories that make you feel good because, as I said in the beginning of the show, when you, just like I'm got tears in my eyes right now, I mean, just remembering all this goofy stuff just makes you feel good all over again because it's, you know, it's a good memory and one that you can call on anytime. When you're feeling down the dumps, you can have a laugh about it all over again. The call-in numbers are area code 530-413-4520. Another number is 415-287-0074. So don't be shy, and you don't have to, like I said before, you don't really even have to use your real name, although we may recognize your voice. So, but that's okay. If you have something, a good memory you'd like to share, and certainly if it's about something that happened in, I don't know what's more memorable. I think high school is very memorable to most people, and, you know, junior high, and probably the stuff that takes place when you're younger and life has to do with your family. But those are still, you know, those are still fun things to talk about as well. So, you know, I just have so many fun memories of growing up, and although I think I mentioned this to you one time, I don't really remember exactly who I was in high school. I remember the activities, like I said, you know, the music stuff, band and choir, and I know I was a class officer. You know, I did a lot of stuff, but I don't really remember who, you know, it's like I don't really have a good feel for myself. So if anybody out there knows who I was then, please let me know.
Yeah, that's a good challenge to your listeners.
Well, it is. Because
can anybody identify what Brenda was like in high school?
Well, and you know, it's like who was I in high school, and you know, am I a lot different now than I was then? I'm sure we all are to a certain extent, but I think a lot of us there's a lot of qualities that we had in high school that we still have. And I'm sure you do as well. So, I don't know. It's kind of a mystery to me. You look through your book and you see all the things that you were involved in, but that doesn't really tell you, you know, how you were just on a day-to-day basis. So, I don't know. And you didn't.
Well, you must have been a laugher.
Well, I know that because I've seen that in my yearbook, you know,
okay.
Great laugh or something like that. So, I mean, I've always found humor in you know, a lot of things. And that's really what makes life go by a little bit easier is when you can see the humor in stuff that's not even that, you know, not even that funny. But I know there was always funny stuff in high school. There was always goofy stuff going on, you know, because there was always somebody who was like the class clown. And there was this guy named, well, this was in junior high. There was a guy named Larry who'd always say, he'd always like make this really funny sound and, you know, just goofy stuff, you know, just really oddball stuff we did, but we certainly thought it was a hoot. And of course, the teachers, I don't know how they have the patience to deal with kids in junior high. Do you? That's a hard time. Not with people like Larry. Yeah, with people like Larry, whose last name we'll not mention. But there was another kid in class named Keith, and he would always say, "Who's Keith?" And then, why did we laugh? I have no clue. I don't even know why he said it. But every time he said it, we'd all just bust up, and we just thought that was incredibly funny. And I still, to this day, don't know why he said it, but we sure thought it was funny. And we didn't, and he didn't save that just for the substitute teachers. He did it, you know, to all of our regular teachers. So I don't know what that was all about, but it was funny.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with kind of the inside kind of story that you know.
Yeah, but I don't even know why
he doesn't know.
Yeah, I mean,
but somehow you all got in the inside and enjoyed the humor around it. I wonder what Keith thought of it.
Well, he'd sit there and he'd blush and he'd start chuckling along with us because, you know, it wasn't like me. There was no mean intention associated with it. It was just teasing, but it was kind of cute, you know.
Yeah.
So he was probably the.
Well, you know, the other thing, like we were talking about potlucks earlier. I think those that were a part of sports teams, etc., they oftentimes talk about the feel-good memories around athletics. And it wasn't necessarily the memories from being out on the field or the court or whatever together, but the locker room razz and jazz and fun-loving things that happened on the sidelines.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I know even
funny.
The books that I've read on professional athletes, they often say that that was their favorite part. I mean, the best memories anyway.
Well, and I guess because I wasn't, I mean, I know that I went to all these athletic events because I'm sure I had a crush on some guy in every sport, right? I mean, that was probably my motivation for going to a football game because that's my least favorite sport.
Yeah.
But I had no idea they actually, like, started practice and all this stuff in, you know, before school started. I had no idea the time that the student athletes put in to participate. I was totally clueless because I was in my own little, you know, probably my own little music world, right? So I had, and they probably didn't know how much I was, you know, that I was at band at 8 o'clock every morning before school started. But, I mean, I was just amazed at how much time and effort that they would put into it. But then, do you remember pep rallies? Do you remember those?
Yes.
That was huge. I mean, I think we got, didn't we, like, take up school time to have a pep rally on Fridays? I don't know if it was unscheduled time or maybe, I don't know, maybe, I don't think we got out of a class to do it. I think maybe it was part of the day, but boy, those were big deals.
Yeah, usually at the end of the day, I think.
Uh-huh. And then
they must have cut the classes shorter or something.
Yeah, I just remember those were big, big deals. And, you know, we were all showing school support and, you know, they introduced the athletes. And I think then the game was probably that, I suppose it was Friday. The game was always on Friday. I don't know if they were on Saturday. I don't remember any of that. But those were really big deals. And even if you didn't, I mean, I didn't, like I said, I wasn't really that much of a sports fan, but you certainly got the school spirit by, you know, going to them. And I think we had to go to them. I'm pretty sure that was part of our day. You couldn't skip a pep rally.
Uh-huh.
You think?
Well, the whole thing was social connection, don't you think?
Yeah. And it was
fun. Going to things with your friends, whether it was a sports activity or movies or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was nice. And I mean, I know that there were actually at one of my high school reunions, a girl somewhat intoxicated was in the bathroom and she was talking about that she was always jealous that I had girlfriends and she didn't. And I thought that was really interesting because I could tell that it had really affected her, you know. The past 30 years she'd been thinking about high school and how she made the choice. I think she was always dating. You know, she probably had a steady boyfriend, so she didn't have time for girlfriends. And so she was just saying, you know, I always wish that I could have been in, you know, your potluck, your group, that kind of thing. Or a, not specifically mine, but, you know, she was just envious that I had, that I had friends, girlfriends in high school. But, you know, that's a choice, just like everything. She didn't, I'm sure there was a group of girls that would have enjoyed having her in their group, but, you know, that wasn't what she was in, maybe just interested in at that point. So, but
now, did you have a Broadway like we did in Fargo, where you would drag Broadway with your car, go back and forth?
You know, there was a drive-in that we went to. It was called the Kegs, and you circle that about a million. Well, first you'd circle it and see if anybody you knew was there, because it was actually a car hop drive-in. And I actually knew a girl who was a car hop there, and I don't know why. I don't know why she was a car hop there. Anyway, and then the A&W. So you'd loop around a couple of places, but then there was one street that we called it Honk Street, that you would go back and forth. You know, it was a nice street with nice houses on it, and those were the days when you recognized everyone. You knew whose car everybody belonged to, you know, so you'd see a certain person or whatever, and you'd know where they were. I mean, it was real hard to get into trouble in a town that small, because you knew where people were all the time. But I don't think we didn't have, I don't remember going up and down a street like that, but I definitely remember going to the drive-in a lot. And I always ate the same thing, a sloppy Joe with cheese and pickles and a lime Coke.
We had a, it wasn't a drive-in, but I think it was called, like, the Crown restaurant that a lot of people would go to. And all I do is remember the brownie sundaes. A brownie with ice cream and chocolate sauce on top.
Was it kind of like a Highway Host or something? A place like that?
Yeah, I think it was, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there were a couple truck stops I remember going to. When we wanted to hide, we'd go over to the truck stop on the other side of the river. I mean, you know.
Oh, okay, on the Minnesota side, huh?
Yeah, we'd cross the river and go over. There was a truck stop over there. And I guess we thought we were being, you know, really grown up or something. I don't know. We were too grown up to cruise the drive-in anymore, so we'd go to the truck stop. And we were drinking coffee. I don't think we were having... They certainly didn't have sloppy joes with cheese and pickles and french fries in a boat and a lime Coke there.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Well, there was a place in my hometown which still to this day has, it's not still there, but it was the greasiest pizza I've ever had in my life. And it was wonderful. I'll never forget that pizza. It was, you know, it wasn't like we had a lot of, actually, there was better pizza in town, but this was like the hangout. And so we would go to a dance at the YWCA. Does that ring a bell, going to dances?
Yes.
Well, so the Y would sponsor these dances on, I don't know if it was Friday or Saturday night, and like your parents would drop you off, and then you'd stand around the perimeter and nobody would dance.
You know what? When you're talking about these feel-good memories, it makes me think of, it wasn't always that fun in the moment. Things didn't always work out but they sure are, when you put, you know, years between, you just can see the lightness of it all. It wasn't really that important, a lot of the things that you took so seriously.
Well, yeah, like the dance, like, who wants to go get dressed up and your mom makes you go and you stand there against the wall for, what, 2 hours? And nobody asks you to dance? How fun is that?
Yeah.
Not really. But I think it was just the activity of trying to, you know, have these boy-girl things that where we had a chance to mingle if that would ever happen. I mean, obviously there were people that danced, and I don't remember that. I think maybe the girls danced with the girls then, just because... it's always been like that, right? The boys don't dance, so the girls have to dance together. So it was never, I think we always had really high expectations that were not met. And then we go over to the greasy pizza place.
Yeah, you get disappointed, and then you do it again the next week.
Yeah, you do it over and over and over again. Always, I think the key is the hopeful nature, you know, being hopeful that something will be different this time. But I think, and in reality, just like you said, it's different when you think back about it. It was good, it serves a purpose. Definitely served a purpose, because that's where you start developing some of your, you know, social skills and know how to act around boys and things like that. So, you know, I can't say that it was fun, but I know I always pressured my mother for a new dress. That was a huge thing, because we couldn't wear the same. Well, that was my idea, probably, that I didn't want to show up in the same thing as if anybody was keeping track.
Then I have heard you talk about going to hockey games and dressing up for them.
Oh, yeah, hockey games. Well, like I said, hockey's my favorite sport. And I don't know where this costume came from. I don't know who started it. I'm sure we were dressing like the older high school girls, but this is the dead of winter. It's freezing cold out, and we have on wool Bermuda shorts, tights or nylons, loafers, a sweater, and a suede jacket. This was our costume to go to the hockey games. I don't get it. I don't know why we had bare legs. And I don't think I've seen a pair of wool Bermuda shorts since then. I'm sure they don't make them anymore, but somehow that was the look in my little town, and that's how we just froze, because those arenas weren't heated. It was cold in there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they did that in your little, if that was the outfit in your little town, but it seems really silly now when you think about it. It was actually kind of cute, but it was just way too cold to wear that.
I don't remember the Bermuda shorts, but I do remember the little suede jackets that we wore. And never anything on our heads.
I hope I'm not making this up. I hope that was really what I had on. Wouldn't it be funny if somebody called in and said, Brenda, you're the only one who wore. Oh, that would be so funny. Well, maybe it was just a trend that someone, you know, maybe someone had an older sister that was fairly sophisticated, and that's how we came up with that idea. I don't have a clue, but that's what we wore. So, you know, like you said, you didn't wear it in your little town, but we wore it where I was. So, I don't know, and the boys probably don't remember what they had on. I don't remember what they had on at all, but. Anyway, what can I say? It was just what we did. And now if you look at what kids wear to high school, it's like, oh, dear. It's kind of gone the other direction in a big way. Well, Ruth, we're going to take a little break here. And if you guys have been listening and thinking that, you know, our memories are totally, I don't know, something we invented, please call us and correct us, because I'd love to hear some of your stories. and the numbers again are area code 415-287-0074 and 530-413-4520. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is the Meeting Brenda Speed Coaching Program, and tonight we're having fun talking about memories that make us feel good, because memories that make us feel good, our brain doesn't really know if they're happening right now or if they happened 40 years ago, and I just have had a couple of good laughs about stuff that happened a long time ago that, you know, might have been, I don't know, difficult at the time, but now, of course, I find it wildly entertaining that I didn't have a date in high school or didn't get asked to dance at any of the dances, but now it's laughable. Maybe then it wasn't, maybe I cried about it at night and complained to my mom and my friends, but now at this age, I think the whole thing was, you know, entertaining, and it was actually quite fun. So another thing Ruth and I were talking about in the break is stuff we remember eating from, you know, high school and that time, and certainly we ate where I grew up, probably kind of one-of-a-kind things. But I think that I had for lunch every day at high school, and I can't believe I'm still alive, a bologna sandwich on white bread and a bag of potato chips and a fudgesicle. Doesn't that sound horrid? Or a glazed donut. Mm-hmm. If they didn't have the fudgesicle, I'd have a glazed donut. It's amazing that I wasn't 5,000 pounds and at, you know, some serious skin disease.
One of my favorite things that my friend Ivy's sister introduced me to, Heidi, was marshmallow popcorn.
I've never even heard of that. What's
You'd pop the popcorn, and then she'd melt butter and marshmallow in a pan, and then mix it all together. It was just delicious.
And so did it, well, I know that you make popcorn balls with, like, Karo syrup, so this was...
Yeah, kind of that idea.
Oh, okay. So this sounds
just
way
with
better.
Marshmallows, and now I do it in the microwave, but back then you had to melt it, you know, kind of melt it into a pan.
And what did you eat for lunch in high school?
Boy, peanut butter sandwich and an apple.
Well, that sounds like something from
every
home.
Day.
Did you buy that there, or did you bring it from home?
No, I think I brought my lunch from home.
Oh, see, in high school, we could either have hot lunch or a la carte, and you can tell that my glazed donut bologna sandwich was a la carte.
A la carte.
And we had the best potato chips. They weren't in a bag, actually. They were, as I said earlier, that we knew about potatoes in hockey. Well, there were potato fields surrounding my hometown, and there was an old Dutch potato chip factory in town, and I believe we got the burnt ones at a discount. And I don't know about you, but I like the brown potato chips. You know, they're kind of like a kettle chip almost, you know. They were really good potato chips.
Do you still like them?
Oh, yeah. If you put a bowl of potato chips out, I would search for the burnt ones, just because that's
interesting.
Yeah, but they were really good. But the other thing I remember is the vast variety of hot dishes that we had available. I mean, there were a lot of different concoctions.
And how about Jell-O?
Well, Jell-O, green Jell-O, Jell-O with pineapple and olives, and there were some really scary. The one that my mom would make that I can't, every time I describe it, people get queasy. It was lime green Jell-O, crushed pineapple, chopped green olives. Okay, pineapple, green olives, and then grated carrots. And that sounds pretty awful, but it's really good.
That too.
Yeah, but, you know, when they started putting the cottage cheese in with the Jell-O, that's where I drew the line.
So how did your eating habits change when you went off to college?
Oh, I probably stayed as bad, because then nobody's watching you.
Mm-hmm.
But I did live in a sorority house, so we did have really good, like a really healthy, well, I don't know if it was healthy, it was North Dakota. We did have a good lunch and a really good dinner, you know, hot meals twice a day, but you know, that still left plenty of time to eat burned potato chips and Diet Cokes. But, getting back to the hot dishes, did you ever have one? I mean, a lot of them involved hamburger, right?
Yes.
There wasn't a lot. And a lot of them involved a can of soup. And then my mom was fairly exotic, so she would do the add some chow mein noodles.
Which,
you know, made it really especially yummy.
Made it more unique.
Well, and then the old Dutch potato chip box had a recipe for tuna casserole, which was, I just can't believe we ate this. It was, and maybe you ate it too, it was tuna, a can of soup. I don't even remember if there were noodles. It was like layers of potato chips.
Right. In my spouse's family, they call that potato chip hot dish. It's still one of his favorite meals.
Oh, my God.
Talking about bringing in the good memory, right?
Yeah, but there's no pasta in it, right? There's no noodles. It's just the tuna and potato chips.
Oh, his the recipe he grew up with had noodles in it, like elbow macaroni.
Yeah. I'm kind of thinking that mine did, too, and then it just had the... a lot of potato chips mixed in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it must have been like 1,000 calories a serving.
Yeah, probably.
Pretty scary stuff. Well, I'm sure I could find the... Oh, I forgot. Ruth and I had an idea. For the first caller who calls in, we're going to give them a North Dakota cookbook. a Lutheran cookbook.
There you go.
Yeah, Lutheran cookbook, because we each have a spare, and we'd love to pass it on. We're not going to say the name of the church it came from, but I'm sure that you've forgotten some of the food you grew up with. So if you'd like to call in and tell us a story, you're going to be the lucky recipient.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll have at least 20 casserole recipes or hot dish recipes and lots of Jell-O recipes, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I don't know. I don't remember... You know, there were probably a lot of Christmas cookie recipes, but other than that, I mean, I don't think we grew up eating fancy pastry that I recall, other than the glazed donuts or something like that. Who knows? Some of it was just so awful. I can't believe that, you know, like I said, we weren't 400 pounds and, you know, really in bad shape, but we were so active then compared to, I think, some of the kids now, because we were... You know, we had to walk everywhere. We were on foot a lot. You know, and those days we didn't even have any kind of girls' athletics, I don't think. I know you were a swimmer, and I think we had a girls' golf and probably swimming, and, you know, that was just a handful of girls who did those things.
Right.
Really small.
Yeah, and then we had GAA.
Oh, yeah, but that's when we'd go in and bounce on the trampoline once a month.
Right.
That's all we ever did.
Just fun things, yeah.
Yeah, we'd play, I don't know, dodgeball and jump on the trampoline. I mean, it didn't really amount to anything. It was more just because we could. I don't, you know, we didn't do anything else. I'm pretty sure we didn't. But
now, Brenda, you were a class officer, or what, president of your senior class?
No, I was a treasurer.
Oh, you were the treasurer.
Okay. I don't know. I don't recall we had any money.
You were kind of a good kid in high school, weren't you?
Oh, I was perfect, yeah. Very much so. I wanted to be. That was my goal.
You were trying to be perfect and tried to get good grades?
Oh, always, yeah. I was the kind of kid who wouldn't go to sleep unless I thought I had everything totally memorized. Like, you know, and especially in junior high, I'd have the flashlight in my room. And I'd open my book to, you know, if I'd go over stuff in my head and I wasn't sure I had it all memorized, I'd try and look it up again and double-check it. So, yeah, I was...
So then what happened after high school?
Oh dear. Well, as I mentioned, I didn't date in high school. And something happened between, you know, when I graduated and when I started high school. And my first semester of college, I got a 1.7, and I was on academic probation. And I know exactly why that happened, because I never went to class. I had a class at 4 in the afternoon, which in the winter is way too dark and way too cold to go to, History of Western Civ, in a big lecture hall. I mean, there was no point in going to that. And there were all these boys, and I went on a lot of dates. I was a busy gal. I went from being what I would call your, you know, average good student high school girl to kind of a hot tamale when I was a freshman. So school kind of took a back seat, and it took me, I went back to school, I'm going to say, the second time I'm going to say that it took me 20 years to get my GPA up to like a 3.5. Because it never...
But you weren't going to school the whole time.
It cost me a fortune to get my GPA up. It cost me an absolute fortune and a lot of time. And then when I did go back to school as an adult for the second time, then I was on the dean's list. But there was a big gap in there where I wasn't... I had other things on my mind, and I don't think that's uncommon when you start college and you're away from people and, you know, with new folks, that sort of thing, and there's not as many, I guess my goals changed. I guess that's how I would describe it. So, I mean, did you have that big transition as well?
No, I tried to stick with the grades. The whole time. I didn't take the big dive like you did.
Yeah, how'd that work for you?
Yeah, it was hard.
Uh-huh.
I think when you get to college, you want to just space out a little bit.
Uh-huh, have
some fun. Enjoy life more.
Yeah. And I think nowadays kids are really under the gun, you know, as far as getting into a good school and whatnot, and, you know, really focused on that, so I'm sure that people still do cut loose when they get to college. I think it's inevitable that happens.
Yeah. We should just not give GPAs for the first year and let people get it out of their system. And then...
I like that idea.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something there.
But again, what I always find so enjoyable about you, Brenda, is you just have this adventurous attitude about life. And I know that's the focus of your work, helping people find adventure and the humor and the fun in life, because life can be kind of challenging at times.
It is, and, you know, it's just you like to use the word, it's a process, and it is a process, and sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down, but, you know, you have to be always be hopeful, and, I mean, I'm always hopeful that things will get better. I mean, they always do. It might take 6 months, it might take a year, but things will always change. And I think over time, I've learned to understand how I address things, you know, really affects the outcome of it. So that's part of the energy coaching that I do, that if you learn to distance yourself from certain things, that it won't have such an effect on you. Because as we said earlier, going to those dances and not getting asked to dance probably was, you know, I'm guessing that I shed some tears over that, just like any teenage girl would do, and feel like, you know, you're ugly and nobody's ever going to like you and that sort of thing. And then, you know, now I can look back on it and laugh about it, but I didn't, I didn't have that outlook then. So I'm sure it did affect me a lot, but obviously not in the long run, because I'm okay with it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, you talk a lot about flipping your switch. Do you want to mention that process that you teach people?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, you can look at things and feel upset about them and be really down in the dumps, and it's like you're the only one in charge of what you're thinking about and how you're feeling. So if I were to give you the opportunity to, as I call it, flip your switch and feel better, and choose not to dwell on whatever it is that you're dwelling on, how crummy your day was or something, and think about, you know, wearing those Bermuda shorts in high school. I mean, I want to think about something that's pleasant and that makes me feel good. So I can easily go from having a bad situation take place and then, maybe within minutes, feel totally different about it, because in the big picture, like we just talked about, in the big picture of your life, it's going to be really probably insignificant, and you won't remember that particular situation. Just like when you get a pink slip or something, I mean, at the time it's devastating, and then in the long run you look back and say, oh, I can't believe I ever worked for that, you know, terrible boss, and I have this great job now, and things like that. So you have to be able to reach for the thought that feels the best, and those aren't my words. I'm paraphrasing someone, but I think if you always reach for the thought that feels the best, or if I ask you what's another way of looking at that, you know, that'll get you to think about it differently. So that's really what you have to do. is just, you know, why feel crummy if you don't have to? It's your choice, right?
Right.
So,
well, sure, it's got to impact our immune system, too.
Oh, definitely it does. Definitely, because the more positive your energy is, and we know that that's going to make you feel better overall. And I know sometimes it's hard to feel positive about the situation, especially the economic situation and so forth that's going on today. But you really have to be able to have some hope, and because without without feeling hopeful, there's not much you can do. So you just have to imagine that things will get better and act as if they are, and usually they do.
Your feel-good show here has reminded me that one of the great exercises I've had some of my clients do is kind of rewrite their story. Mm-hmm. Because as you were talking about maybe crying after a dance when you mm-hmm. didn't get a chance to dance with somebody, when you see the long-term tapestry of your life
mm-hmm.
and how that was emotional, painful at the time, but you rewrite the story because it gave you some new sensitivity or something to others, or mm-hmm. whatever value it had in the long run, can also, that kind of reframing process mm-hmm. can be really helpful in, again, appreciating that life has a lot of knots and loose ends to it, but if you look at the front side of the tapestry, it's quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's totally dependent on, you know, the world really does have two kinds of people, the glass is half full or if it's half empty, and I think the majority of people, unfortunately, are the half empty people. They're always looking at the negative side of everything and worrying about things that they imagine what can go wrong, or all the awful things that could happen, which, of course, they're just making up. They don't even exist. They're just inventing them, right? So
yeah.
If you focus on where you are right now and where you'd like to be, and, you know, someplace, a good place, that, you know, makes a huge difference. So you just reminded me of something. I do ballroom dance as an adult, and I went to a dance, I'm going to say, 6 months ago. This is how different I am now. So I get dressed up, curl my eyelashes, which, you know, that means I'm going somewhere. And I go to this dance, and I walk in, and I sat down next to a lady. And I'm going to say I was there 5 minutes. I said to myself, what am I doing here? And I thought, I'm going to go home. I'm not going to force myself to stay here because I just know right now this is not the group I want to be. You know, it just wasn't a good situation. And
yeah, but when you were living in Hawaii,
yeah,
you were dancing all the time, right?
Yeah, but I never did have a dance partner there either, but that didn't bother me. But
yeah.
This was so.
But what were you doing? The tango?
No. I like the Latin dances.
The Latin dances.
But,
okay.
Yeah, but this was so funny because I walked in, and you know, this took some time to get ready, drive there, go in, sit down, and then I asked the lady next to me where the bathroom was, and she pointed kind of to where I'd come in. So I just walked out, drove home, and I thought, see, this is me. I'm being positive, right? Boy, I just saved myself 2 hours of suffering. I'm so glad I didn't see
you. Read the environment well these days, huh?
What'd you say?
You read the environment well these
days.
Oh,
yes. It didn't take me long to figure out that this was not the place for me to spend the evening because I was going to be forcing myself to have fun, which is that. What's up with that? That's, you know, ridiculous to try and do that. So.
Hey, Brenda, I'm looking at the clock, and we're getting close to the end of your show. I'm wondering what you have planned for next week.
Well, I have next week, since we're going into a new year, I'd like people to tell me what they want to accomplish and how they plan on getting there, because most people make goals for the new year, but most people don't reach them. And I printed out my goals and objectives for 2010, and poof, boy, I didn't, you know, I probably got 50% of it done. So this year I'm going to take, you know, I'm going to use those as a starting point for next year, but I think I'm going to try and approach it a little differently, because when you write down like really specific things. My new thing is that I'm going to aim for how what the feeling I would get from it, right? So when you write down that you want a certain amount of money, you know, a goal mm-hmm. is I want to make this much money. So my thing I'm going to do this year is I'm going to write down how having that will make me feel. I'm not going to write down the number exactly, but I'm going to describe, you know, the feeling I'll get from it. So that's my new slant for next year.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes because I haven't rewritten them all. So, but I do have a new coaching opportunity coming up in January. I'm going to do a group coaching session, and I'll talk to you more about it next week because I'm not sure what night of the week I'm going to do it. So next week's show is going to be about what you want to accomplish next year and how we can look at it from a slightly different slant. And thank you, Ruth, so much for joining tonight. That was fun, and I don't know about you, but I got some laughs in, so
I feel good.
Good. Well, thanks so much for joining us tonight, and I'm looking forward to next week and more opportunities to work with you. And just remember that life is an adventure, and there's more than one road to the finish line. Good night, everyone.